This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
That's kind of good coffee, John.
Was it good?
Did you make it?
Yeah, I picked the beans and everything.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shelp.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are the Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We are at the Bristol Opera House today, which is kind of was a little unusual locale for us. Although
not in our regular studio, Dave.
Not in our regular studio. So you may note a couple of acoustical differences, perhaps.
It's better here.
Well, I'm noticing a little bit of a difference in my headphones right now. But this episode is about a theater code of ethics that was, I wouldn't say unearthed, but was discovered by the executor of the estate of an actress by the name of Kathleen Freeman. And Kathleen Freeman was played the piano player in the Broadway play The Full Monty and passed away in 2001. Long ago, in 1945, she was part of something called the Circle Players in Los Angeles. And after she died, a document was unearthed by her executor, which was an official code of ethics for workers in the theater, not just actors and actresses, but for workers in the theater that was written for the Circle Theater. And what's interesting about this, when I discovered this online and we've been talking about it, is that how similar the issues are that they face and how interesting some of the rules are. But, you know, a lot of things change in the theater, but a lot of things stay the same. And it's kind of like, that's what I got out of this initially. But a lot of these rules are things that we forget.
Well, and I think one of the interesting things as we were reading through the article was that it's a code of ethics, and as a general rule, you know, ethical behavior is important in just about any profession, not just acting. So
right. A
lot of what is on this list applies, if you change the wording just a little bit, would apply to having a job working at McDonald's, having a job working in at Chase Bank in New York City, you know, anywhere, having a code of ethics that you follow. And
very first one on here is, I shall never miss a performance. Well, if you work at McDonald's, you never miss your shift.
You shouldn't miss your shift.
That's right. I mean, it's really not much different.
Well,
there.
But I mean, it's true, you know, that. But I think we take those things for granted. It's like, oh, you know, it's real easy. I don't have to show up today. You know, I'll just call in sick.
Well, it's not an unusual attitude sometimes.
No, so. But it's not necessarily a good work ethic.
No, it's not. It's not. So anyway, I like some of these seem maybe rigorous, but I think that if you're dedicated to the theater, that this is the kind of, a lot of these are kind of the attitudes that you should have. I shall never make a curtain late by my failure to be ready on time is one of these.
Oh,
I think very important.
I like the next one. I shall never miss an entrance.
I shall never miss an entrance. And if you were at McDonald's, I shall never drop the fries.
There you go.
There you go.
Are we going to compare everything to McDonald's?
Maybe.
No, I really don't think that's a good comparison.
Okay. All right, but
both are good though. I mean, the whole idea of actors who are not ready on time,
right,
and making the curtain late. You know, it's not about the actor. I mean, isn't it funny how we often come back around to that whole idea? It's not about the actor. It's about the show and about the event, it's as a whole,
right?
Not about just one person. And your inability to get yourself together and be ready on time for a curtain is not fair to the audience, to the other actors,
well,
to anybody.
I think that one applies to the audience as well.
It sure does.
Well, it does.
Code of ethics. I mean, maybe we should post this in our lobbies.
Yeah, really.
If you look at code of ethics for audience members. Yeah.
Well, that's not such a stretch.
Probably not. But it's true. I mean, if you look at theater as a collaboration, as the theater event as a collaboration between the audience and the cast and crew, then right. everybody's got a responsibility here.
They sure do.
The audience does. And I don't see anything about here, don't bring your 3-year-old baby in, but that doesn't, that's another one that we could talk about, but we won't.
Yes,
well,
really.
Yeah, don't bring your, yeah, no. But anyway, so.
But I shall never miss an entrance. Most of us, once we're in the theater, we try not to miss entrances, but that happens for a variety of reasons, not just laziness, but just sort of, you know, what, ADD, I don't know.
Well, you're thinking about other things, or you get your foot caught in the hem of a pair of pants. I've had that happen.
Oh, yeah, geez.
Quick change. Your foot's caught in the hem of a pair of pants, and you're leaping. You're jumping
on one foot. That's kind of inexcusable.
Well, still, you know, it's
more so than sitting playing euchre or Trivial Pursuit,
right,
or true. And forgetting that you're supposed to be on stage.
That's
kind
right.
of thing.
Well, we banned the game. I don't know if they're banned anymore, but we did at one time ban the euchre and the Trivial Pursuit from the dressing room because people were getting too involved. Now it's cell phone video games.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Angry Birds?
Yeah. Younger people, you get caught up in a hot game of Angry Birds and you miss your entrance and you got an angry crowd. So that's not too good. I like this one too. This is one of your favorites too, John. I shall never leave the theater building or the stage area until I have completed my performance, unless I am specifically excused by the stage manager. Curtain calls are a part of the show.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very interesting. I include that with rehearsals too, where, you know, nothing can be accomplished if, for example, you get angry and leave a rehearsal. Now, I've seen it happen. I've seen directors walk out of rehearsals angry.
Yeah.
And leave you. I've
too.
Seen actors walk out of rehearsals angry.
Yeah.
And it's like nothing can be accomplished and nothing can be settled. And it's just unprofessional. You wouldn't walk off your job. Well, not an expect to come back to the job.
No, exactly. not normally, no.
Yeah, you know, and so why should you be able to say, even though we're in an artistic environment where maybe we all have our egos are much more involved, but at the same time, you just, if you walk out of a role, don't expect to be able to come right back into it.
Well, that kind of brings up number 8.
Of course, the last time that happened to me, by the way, we actually had to have, I mean, there was a vote, there had to be a public apology by the person who did it, because I wasn't going to let the person back in until they did that.
Yeah.
So,
but that kind of brings us back to I shall forego the gratification of my ego for the demands of the play. If you remember that one, some of the other ones fall into place.
They
right?
sure do.
And
they
it's
sure
the do. But the play is the thing. But that's one of the things that I've always, you know, the tantrum thing is a rule that I always present, and I try to do it so that it doesn't sound like I'm expecting tantrums from a new cast. But I'll say, you know, by the way, I can play any of your parts. Even if I have to put on a dress, that usually
that's a scary thought.
That, then I do, that's I, the whole point.
Yeah.
Fear of the director.
Fear
that,
of the
that's
director.
What.
Gets, oh, okay.
They say, "Ooh, well, we don't want that to happen.
We don't want to see that."
Yeah. But anyway, so that's how I approach that. But
I also do like Kathleen Freeman's take on about people's comments about your performance and how you shouldn't let that change your performance. She specifically says, I shall not let the comments of friends, relatives, or critics change any phase of my work without proper consultation. I shall not change lines, business, lights, properties, settings, or costumes, or any phase of the production without consultation with and permission of my director or producer. And I shall inform all people concerned. We have also talked about that in the past, but specifically, it's real easy to let people get into your brain. Again, we're so caught up in ego. And if somebody says, well, you know, I don't think you should have done that way. And this used to happen a lot with reviews. And I know Marcia is a reviewer, a critic. But at the same time, sometimes you can read a review and go, oh, maybe I need to change that. And maybe you do. Maybe the critic actually caught something that was important.
But here,
at that point. But don't do it without talking to your director, your other castmates, and don't do it if you've maybe the director had a different view, and maybe the critic just didn't get it. It might be valid for the critic's view, but the director and the cast have now created a new view, and maybe it doesn't work to create something new at this moment. You know. Just one person.
Right.
Well, and it also is actors particularly have very fragile egos, you know, and so when they hear, I mean, I've had people come up to me and remember one line from a review that I wrote 20 years ago.
My first review.
And oh,
Marcia
and
called me Lurch.
And
Lurch like.
Lurch like. Okay. Well, you're ready for the Addams Family, then, aren't you? Okay. But you know, and it's not. I try, since we're talking about critics, I try never to cut somebody that's doing the best they can. I usually then just say the part of Frank was played by Joe Blow.
Right.
You don't say, you know, he really should not have been on that stage.
Right.
But because actors do, they have very, very fragile egos.
Well, and when, if you're reviewing community theater, your approach is maybe a little different than
definitely.
Professional theater.
No, it's a lot different.
Right.
It's a lot different. Absolutely.
I think that'd be an interesting, sometime we should interview you as a critic.
Oh, okay.
You know, just, well, I mean, to see where what your thought processes are and how you come at things and how you sit in the audience and what you think. And I think that'd
be
interesting.
She sits kind of like this.
Yeah, I do.
She has her arm. She's always on the right aisle, I can tell you that.
Always on the right aisle.
You still have
well,
the pen.
I figure if I
you still have the pen with the light flashlight.
No,
in it?
I have a little pen, just a little teeny flashlight.
Oh, okay.
That, she has one of those things that attaches to the front of her forehead,
like a miner's light.
I do like. Kathleen talked about. I shall remember. My business is to create illusion.
Oh yes.
Therefore, I shall not break the illusion by appearing in costume and makeup off stage or outside the theater. Of course, that's unless you're at a special event or something where you're promoting the show. But I don't know how many times recently, actually, I've had to talk to actors about not coming out into the green room prior to the show. And it's a thought process. It's a training process. Another reason why maybe these rules would be good to post somewhere. Because you don't think about it. You know, like, I want a cup of coffee. There's a coffee pot in the lobby. I'm going to go get a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, because we're trying to create the illusion. And when you walk out on stage for the first time, that should be the first time the audience sees you.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be in a common moment. It needs to be in that moment that is special and costumed and lit, and it's a special moment. You shouldn't ruin that. Unless, now I will say, we have done this in the past, and I think it works really well. For example, in a production we've done of Smoke on the Mountain, when we actually have cast members in the lobby, seating people and talking to them in character,
because it's in
and
a church, creating supposed to be in a church,
and creating that illusion of a church event.
But they're already performing at that point.
But they are performing at that moment.
Yeah,
they're not going out.
But
to
if
get
they
a
went over
coffee.
To the coffee pot to get a cup of coffee, unless they did it in character and did it really well, I'd be kind of upset.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Don't break that wall.
Well, you'd have to go over there for Smoke on the Mountain. They'd have to go to the coffee pot and ask how it works.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
You know, and
they had percolators back then. But anyway,
yes, they did.
Well, anyhow,
the
thing is though, and that also goes for things like, you know, peeking through the curtain and stuff like that. Yeah. Kind of.
This is one that we talked about before. Foregoing all social activities which interfere with rehearsals or any other scheduled work at the theater. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten to rehearsal and most of the cast is there and where is so-and-so, and then we get a phone call. Oh, well, I had to go to so-and-so's recital. I just couldn't miss it. Well, that is not acceptable. And I think recently it resulted in somebody being replaced in a cast.
Right.
You just can't do that. It's not you that's suffering the most. It's all the other people in the cast who are waiting to perform around you and with you. And there's a big hole there.
Yeah, and even the director suffers because they can't really see how things are fitting together the same way. There's this there's that hole there, and my favorite thing as a director is the one where somebody shows up and says, I forgot to mention I'm on vacation next week.
Yeah.
I mean, I've actually had that. Now, you know, in community theater, you have some issues that where you really have to be forgiving, like, I was called into work tonight. I have to work. You know, I mean, stuff
that's
like
true.
That happens.
Well,
or a family illness or even a death or something like that is there's sometimes, at least as far as rehearsals are concerned, you know, that would. We've had people lose family members and perform that night because they were dedicated and they knew that that was their responsibility. But, you know, I mean, there are things you forgive people for in community theater. but it can get out of hand if you get too forgiving.
Yeah.
Well, I think it goes back to what we talked about a couple of episodes ago, that when you agree to do a role or be a part of a props committee or lighting or whatever, you make a definite commitment to that, right, and you have to keep that. It's like your own contract with the theater.
Right.
That was that episode was quite a long time ago, as a matter of fact.
Oh, was it really? It seemed time blurs for me.
You know, actually, mm-hmm. I just as a little aside.
Yes.
The episode that we did last time with Andrew Goffman, I think, was our 60th episode.
Oh, you're kidding!
My goodness. No,
I'm kidding.
Good
We've
for
lasted
us.
This well, and also haven't killed each other.
It's our 60th episode, also counting the ones that I've done as a news. But I've only done a few of those. Almost all of them have been the three of us.
Okay, and you do it because we need to go ahead and record more, right?
Well, I do. I do. I don't know why we're getting off the track here, but I do an every other weekly, although I've been on a hiatus here, do an every other weekly news kind of review. And I just pull things from the internet and talk about theatrical episodes, issues, and things like that. Like this particular code of ethics I talked about in one of the previous episodes briefly. And the idea is to give our listeners something to listen to every week instead of every other week.
Yeah. Well, I think we ought to jump on number 13.
Number 13?
I actually, it's one that I starred, Marcia.
I know you did. I see your little star there,
John. It's a star.
It says, I shall not spread rumor or gossip which is malicious and tends to reflect discredit on my show, the theater, or any personnel connected with them, either to people inside or outside the group.
You know,
that should be like written in blood right there.
Yeah, yeah, don't put down your own company.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't do that.
Well, and you know what? It's not that anybody blatantly comes out and does it. It's the backstage or off when if you're sitting waiting to go on during a rehearsal, and it's like,
I can't believe they did that.
No, yeah.
Right.
It's not anything that's blatant. It's really an insidious kind of undercurrent that can wreck
and it's
cast.
Easy. It's easy to get caught up in there's a lot, just like any performing arts, a lot of time there's downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And what do? I mean, a lot of people bring books, especially, you know, I've been in casts where people have been really bitey like that. And people who don't want to get caught up in it, actors who don't usually bring a book, they'll bring headphones, they'll bring something so that they're not caught up in that whole backbiting situation and rumor mills. And it can get pretty bad sometimes. And it would be nice if we could just all come and be professionals and just enjoy the company in the moment. You can almost...
It's funny. I think, I see that more with the bigger cast and maybe where there's a wider age range of stuff, possibly. I mean, we just did Brighton Beach not that long ago. There was no animosity in that cast, as far as I can tell.
Wasn't time.
Well,
there wasn't time for people to have it.
No, there wasn't, because they were mostly on stage all the time.
Well, that's true.
All it takes is one person with a totally negative attitude, you know, and you figure, if they're that negative, why are they even here? Why did they audition? Mm-hmm. And why did they accept a role or a committee, you know, being on a committee, if they were really that unhappy with everything?
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing, and what happens to people like that, they end up not getting cast later, or they get passed over. I mean, you will end up not being invited back, in essence, if you are a persistent issue starter.
It's too bad, but it's true.
Yeah, it is true. And frankly, I think, even if you're talented, sometimes you're not worth the trouble.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know,
and I feel about this, though, and we have talked about this just in private, but I kind of feel sometimes like this particular issue about spreading rumor and gossip kind of extends, especially in the community theater world, to other theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Not talking bad about other theaters, not talking, because we all have a tendency, it's a very small community.
Right.
Even though, we don't want, there shouldn't be that sharing of animosity across borders even. And so we're all here, we're all trying to make good theater, and that's where it should be. You know, instead of spreading rumors and gossip about other people.
But sometimes it's really hard.
It is.
It's hard not to. And unfortunately, if you're in the arts milieu, is that the right word? There are competitors.
Well, it's a human trait. Yeah. We want to talk. I mean, we just, you know, it seems natural to talk about other people and
but it isn't healthy usually.
No, it's not.
Yeah, no. Not usually healthy.
Absolutely. Well, we all agree on that, so we'll never do that again, right?
There we go. Okay.
But I will tell you, after we finish, I heard something about Dave, and I'm going to let you know.
Oh, okay. All right. Have I got a story about Marshall?
Oh, yeah, I'm right. Sure of that.
Okay. Since I respect the theater in which I work, I shall do my best to keep it looking clean, orderly,
Amen,
and attractive.
Amen, brother.
Whether I am specifically assigned to such work or not.
Yeah, I wish someone could come in to the theater after a rehearsal with a full cast musical and just take a look at the garbage these people leave around.
In the dressing rooms,
In dressing rooms, in the auditorium, sitting in the auditorium. You have candy wrappers on the floor. You have empty soda cans sitting all over the place.
Right.
Who do you think is going to come in and clean up after you? You wouldn't do it at home. wouldn't do it at home.
I use the same, I use that same though, maybe slightly differently worded. And we talked about how maybe this is a little antiquated in its wording, but that same thing is in my youth theater comments, because a lot of times we work off site for rehearsals before we come to our theater,
right.
And we specifically say, you know, you need to treat the building like it's your home, and none of us are your mother. You know, so you need to clean up after yourselves, because this church is not yours. This recital hall is not yours.
Right.
You need to treat it well. And when you get to the theater, our particular theater is over 100 years old. It doesn't want you jumping on the furniture. It doesn't want your candy wrappers on the floor.
Right.
And so and a lot of times during rehearsal, if it starts to get bad, we'll have a discussion before rehearsal starts the next time about keeping it clean. And so, because it is important.
Well, and if you're in a facility that your group does not own and you do that,
you may not be allowed
to come back and perform again.
Using it as a rehearsal space.
Or even performing there. I mean, there's you know, groups get bad reputations as well as people. So, I think that's an important thing to remember. Did you have another?
Well, I just said, and then you know, she ended up with this is really great. And if you folks want to catch that, my guess is Dave will give you a link on our
website. An article by Janet Thielke, and it was written in LA StageTimes.com, and there will be a link in the show notes so that you can see it. Go to theatergeeks.com
Kathleen, I can't think of her first name, last name Freeman. Kathleen Freeman ended with a statement which I thought was really interesting, and which applies, I think, specifically to community theater, which is about, and she says, I understand that membership in her theater entitles me to the privileges of working when I am so assigned in any of the phases of a production, including props, lights, sound, construction, house management, box office, publicity, and stage managing, as well as acting. I realize it is possible I may not be cast in a part for many months, but I will not allow this to dampen my enthusiasm or desire to work, since I realize without my willingness to do all other phases of theater work, there would be no theater for me to act in. And I really, really encourage folks to remember that if you think that you might be interested in props or sound or lights,
costumes,
she did leave that out.
Yeah.
But that those are really important things, that we can't create theater without those technicians.
Right.
And if you're not cast in a show, even if you audition for the show and it's like, oh man, I didn't get cast in the show, I'm not going to have anything to do with that show.
Right.
No, please volunteer to do something else, because A, we have fun. I mean, community theater is, as a general rule, fun. It's a way to be with your friends. It's a way to meet new people. And maybe you're doing props, but they're important to the show.
Right.
And you still get a chance to have that interaction and to be a part of the whole. And
that's
important.
And you get to see you get to see your work on stage, even if you're not on stage.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes the actors miss out in one respect, which is that they don't get to see the play they're in.
I know.
And it's always kind of weird. It's like, I've always thought, you know, some actors don't like to look at themselves, but I always like to see the videotape later to see, what did it look like?
Yeah.
I mean, I know basically what it looked like, but I can't be in both places at the same time. So, but being part of the backstage crew, a lot of times you actually can watch and see what is actually coming across on the stage. So it's really good. The other thing too is, a lot of times in community theater, with this final statement that she said, you can if you've never done anything before, chances are you may not get a large part, but or, you know, even if you were cast, and sometimes being involved in other ways is a great way to just get your foot in the door and really to start to learn.
Exactly.
I mean, and I think that, you know, like I've always felt that community theater is about teaching people as much as it is about participation mm-hmm. and having fun.
Yeah.
And so, you know, always be willing to try something, even if you're not even sure you like it.
Right. Good idea.
Absolutely. I can remember many nights staying here in the theater till forever, making like light up big lollipops for carnival. You know, whoa, we just were here forever doing that. Or sewing fake boot things for the Russians in Fiddler on the Roof.
Right.
You know, it's something that everybody can be a part of.
Right.
And
those boots look great on stage after they were done, and you
yes,
feel good
they
about
did.
I mean, it's a little thing, it seems like,
but
it's
a big deal. And those lollipops were wonderful.
There you go.
I can't imagine whoever got rid of them.
She's staring at me.
I'm
I don't
think
somebody tossed
somebody got rid of them.
Somebody tossed out the light up lollipop.
Somebody did not give Marcia the.
If you'd
the
like
memo
to donate
I,
some
I
light up lollipop,
no, John doesn't. That's
you could have
right.
put you could have put them in your yard.
No. I have other things in my garage, but
no,
we'll go into
okay.
that a later
right.
date.
Okay.
Saving memorabilia.
As long as he's not screaming, we're okay.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh, very funny.
All
that
right.
brings me to never mind.
Okay. Well, that kind of wraps up this episode of Theater Geeks. Look for this article in the show notes. Do check out the website, theatergeeks.com, where you can listen to the podcast. You can check out some of the other news and articles that we have there. Also, go to the Theater Geeks store by following the swag link that's on the website. There you will find hats, cups, mugs, I don't know, something else.
Teddy bears.
Teddy bear.
No, I'm not going to say it today.
I just sent somebody's little baby a Theater Geeks teddy bear.
There you go.
And she loves it.
I put a picture of my granddaughter in a Theater Geeks t-shirt on the website not long ago. So, but you can listen to the thing there, podcast there. Also, we're on iTunes. We're at the Blueberry Network. We are available. You can get us on Stitcher Smart Radio on your iPhone or your Android device. We can, you know, there's a lot of other, or your favorite podcatcher, basically. We have a lot of different places where you can find us, but those are some of the main ones. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.